Do the call to order and the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, so. Here we are. Okay, I have one change, I guess, before we start item number four. We'll scratch that off your agenda, the approval of the minutes. Anyone have any other changes on the agenda? Anyone want to move? Mark, you have some. Come on up.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. September the 3rd, 2013, Story County Commission meeting. We're starting at 10 a.m. today. I'm speaking to item number three, discussion before the approval of today's agenda, September 3rd, 2013. My first concern before you approve the agenda today is there's correspondence has been put in the package, but there's nothing in the agenda reflecting that correspondence has been submitted. Second thing is, when we get to the consent agenda, I'd like to talk a little bit about item number two, which is updating Story County Administrative Policies number 008. Brief discussion before you approve that. And third concern today is, at the last meeting, Sheriff Antonello requested an item be put on the agenda, and I don't see that on the agenda today. Thank you.
So we'll pull item two then off the consent for some further discussion then. Okay, with those changes noted, anything else? So motion then to approve.
Move to approve today's agenda.
Second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So let's go ahead with the item number two on the consent agenda. Might as well just bring that up right now.
Mr. Chairman, I can kick off if you wish.
Okay.
This is at suggestion of Mr. Morris with Mr. Maddox's concurrence. We introduced a new format to hopefully give you guys a snapshot picture of essentially all items appearing on the agenda before you for action. After kicking it around between Vanessa, myself, Bob, and Bill, we came up with the agenda action report. Our intent, if you take a look at this particular item, is to give you both how it's worded on the agenda, staff's recommendations as to what a motion might be, a staff summary that I'll come back to in just a minute, any reference to any supporting material we provided to you and to the public packet. Then probably some of the most important ones fall in 6, 7, and to some degree 8, and we're still working number 8 out as far as paper flow. If there is any fiscal impact on policies based on the preparer's opinion, then where you see fiscal impact is none on this agenda item, that would say yes, and there would need to be reference to the funds available, yes or no, what fund it was coming out of, and then that requires our controller's approval prior to submission into the public record. And then the legal review, again, if it's policies, contracts, or anything we're just not sure of, ordinances, those will have a yes. In this case, I felt this policy needed to have concurrence from the district attorney, so Mr. Maddox signed off. In some cases, if these reports are being done by other department heads, and this is where we're We're working through the flow in number eight. The department head will sign. In this case, I prepared it, so I just signed once. Vanessa or the clerk will hopefully annotate in number nine what happens after the meeting. And then back to staff summary, there are a few of us here that don't seem to be able to get our messages across in 10 words or less, Mr. Osborne and myself amongst those, versus Doreen Evan that was clearly able to on the approval of minutes. She got that out in 10 words exactly, I think. So what we're going to do is we're going to start staff summary, but then we're going to continue it on a second page, hopefully keeping that first page about as pure as we possibly can. The policy itself, primarily, to the best of my knowledge, just simply incorporates this process to our existing policy, and then also does a little bit of cleanup language that that Bob helped us with at the same time. Agenda request items are still required to be in by both department heads and the public and the commission by noon on Monday of the week before. Mr. Maddox and our clerk and I have a 1:30 meeting scheduled every day where we take any of those requests, finalize them. Staff will also be required to complete this agenda report, agenda action report as well. So to the best of my knowledge, that is pretty much the fundamental changes that we've done to our existing policy.
Okay.
If I could add just a little bit to that, the other thing is it has the time, an estimated time that we think the item will take. And what we've been trying to accomplish with the Monday before meeting and this form is to make sure that we've got the materials to support something we're going to do ready by Monday at noon. That way we can get them out. We've received complaints in the past that material supporting items weren't made available early enough. So this form, to some degree, forces us to do things early enough so that all of the supporting materials, by the time the agenda has to be posted, which is Thursday at 9, they're together and ready to go out with the agenda packet. And that way no one can come in here and say, well, I didn't have this and I didn't have that. Hopefully, by meeting on Monday, that gives us a couple of days to make sure that any supporting material is there and ready to go out when the agenda goes out. And I think on occasion we're even getting the agenda and supporting materials out earlier than we're required. Mm-hmm. So that gives the public who wants to sit down and try to absorb what's going to happen at the meeting more time to absorb the supporting material. So.
And if I might build on that, it is, again, the primary intent is to give you and the public a consistent presentation. You know, all of us are using the same format. And, again, we pretty much signal to all the department heads, and hopefully they or their staffs, that if they want agenda items on any particular meeting, both this form, all supporting documents, an agenda request, if appropriate, all the documentation needs to be to the clerk by noon on the Monday of the week before the meeting, or is going to wait until it is there. So.
Anyone else have anything? Okay. Staff's good. All right. Mark, you had a couple of things on it, or?
Yeah, Mark Phillips again. September 3rd, 2013, consent agenda item number two. Okay, I spend a lot of time on my agenda item requests. I'm used to having my requests denied, and that's legal. Y'all don't have to put on your agenda what I'm interested in, but the fact that I took quite a bit of time to write this up and get it in a week ago yesterday by noon, and actually got a little response from Pat Whitten in the form of correspondence, I resent the fact that my correspondence is not not referred to on the agenda as correspondence, so maybe in the future, we could at least not acknowledge my hard work and acknowledge my agenda item requested or denied as correspondence. Thank you.
Any other public comment?
Do I hear a motion?
Sure.
Move to approve the updates to the Story County Administrative Policies and Procedures, number 008.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, then, off to the remainder of the consent agenda. Any more comments on the consent agenda?
Mr. Chairman, move for approval of the remaining consent agenda items.
A second motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All righty. Committee and staff is up next, item number 4 on the main agenda. And Joe, Mr. Curtis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really don't have...
You got to come up, Joe, and get it on the official recording.
You can walk that far. You're not that old.
Yeah.
At least I work most of the time.
And we got called for.
You have to understand how far Bill and I go back.
Yeah.
I feel your pain.
And we spend most of our time messing with each other.
I'm sorry, Mr. Curtis, your 3 minutes is up.
actually, I have really nothing forward to bring except one item, and then I have another item on the agenda in a few moments, item number 7. But we're preparing for September 17th and 18th for the statewide Emergency Managers Conference that will be held here at Piper's Opera House. This is held every year, and it involves about anywhere from 60 to maybe sometimes as many as 80 emergency managers from not only the counties, but from some private industry businesses, casino, and tribal folks, and others who are involved in emergency management processes. And we'll be having that two-day meeting, like I say, here at Piper's Opera House on the 17th and 18th, and you certainly are all invited to attend all or any portion of it. It will involve a workshop type of environment of things that we have to do in terms of planning for exercises, for updating on things that we are doing as a statewide group, that sort of thing. So if you feel like coming, dropping by, please do.
Interesting thing.
Thank you.
Sherry?
Nothing today, thank you.
Oh, okay. Hugh?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As of August 31st, our bids have closed for the USDA construction of the wastewater sewer plant. As you may know, it required this is going to require a revenue bond of $3,002,000 with another, another $2 million plus in grants. So we will be looking at those bids. Several have come in by email. I expect the rest to come in by mail. We will then take those, have a review, and then have a meeting and pick a lender of our choice. And hopefully Mike can get the Bureau of Land Management going. Maybe we can start construction before next year. So.
Jesse, got anything for us?
Thank you, Commissioners. Right now, we're working on a abandonment street case, so I'm meeting out at the site tomorrow with Austin and Mike, taking that on, and have the master plan workshop on Thursday. That's at the Highlands Fire Station. and also sent out a violation and nuisance abatement letter. So those will be coming to you probably soon, Mr. Maddox. Thank you.
That's it. Okay. Let's see. Denny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. A couple quick things here. Today at 1 o'clock, I'll visit with Patty Blakely and Shannon Gardner at the Gold Hill Depot. Now that we have ownership of that in the Keys, also have a locksmith coming to change those locks. Power has been changed over, water's changed over in the county name, and then we'll go from there once we figure out what the focus group would like to do with the building. Labor Day weekend was a good weekend up here. We had a lot of folks. Isabella and her team did a wonderful job with all the Civil War reenactors. I think attendance was up quite a bit. The parade was one of the best that I've seen for a Labor Day parade in a long time. A lot of people were up here, so I think it was pretty neat to see what they did along with the Vietnam Memorial Wall. It was a nice tie-in. Camels. I have to say, you know, when you're waking up in the morning thinking about camels, it gets old. But it seems to be on the brain lately for most of us. The arena is in the best shape that I think I've ever seen it in the 10, 12 years that I've been here. Public Works and our fire department really jumped in with crews to help really clean that thing up, make it a safe environment. We repaired bleachers, we fixed fence, we weed-eated everything, they did dirt work, we watered it down. The ground now has been tilled up over the weekend for the animals. it looks great, so we'll get some tents and banners up on tomorrow, vendors on Friday, and open the doors. But before that, we're doing the Hump Day on Wednesday. We teamed up with the Discovery Museum down in Reno. Tomorrow, we're taking the animals down there to Reno. It's a big press opportunity, I guess, if you will, to really sell the camel races in Virginia City for this next weekend. So it'd be a great event. I hope most everybody can come, bring their kids. You can get them for $4, and there's some games and stuff that they'll be able to do to win VIP tickets to the camel races, as well as participate in a kids' parade on Sunday. So should be a good tie-in for us with the folks down in Reno. Going forward a week or so, we got the Ferrari races. Things have been put to bed there. We got all of our ducks in a row, so they're in compliance now with all their paperwork, and we're good to go. They've actually got quite a few rooms here booked in the Virginia City area. They've also reached out to some catering folks and are looking to do an escort, if you will, semi-parade for folks to kind of draw up a little bit of hype about the event. So those are good things for that event. And then finally, I'll have some paperwork in for the next agenda on the 17th. We'll have the Division of Wildlife here just giving an update on some ordinance in regards to the county's hunting and trapping regulations. So that's all I got.
Can you give a general census of camel race ticket pre-sales?
Camel race ticket pre-sales. Last year we sold roughly $500 worth of tickets before the event. As of my last report on Friday, we were over $25,000 in ticket sales already in for camel races. Our system that's in place right now and our marketing and advertising efforts, I think have hit a home run. You know, it looks like the weather's going to be great. I don't see any reason why it won't continue. It's fun. It's fun when we're selling a product that people want. And I think combination of that and the contributions that our local merchants have done, much like the 4th of July event, where we got the local the sponsors, local merchants to coming together, it really pays off. It just helps get the word out, and it should be a wonderful event. As I see, we got lots of new things that we're going to have to go with it, but ticket sales are great, so can't complain.
Yeah, I spent all 3 days in town. And over this past weekend, boy, I'll tell you, people really seemed to like that. I thought it, you know, it was spread out. I was telling Pat earlier this morning, it was spread out over the whole town, and there was something going on every day, and not too much, not too little. It seemed like it was a pretty good weekend parade. It was awesome. I mean, that was an hour-long parade, and
yeah.
I was ready to get up and go join the union or something there and
Yeah, one thing, Mr. Chairman, that I've seen, especially this year, is our events that, you know, we have to, sometimes we got to look at the formula, to whether we're going to ticket an event or we offer a free event. Whenever we can come together as a team of merchants and whatnot, everybody pitch in and offer a free event, we sure seem to do a lot better up here. Our geographically, our with the steep hillside, no place to park, lack of flat surfaces, makes it tough to hold a big event where we can actually ticket it, and so it's something that we'll look at going forward.
So you're going with Patty today and...
And Shannon at 1 o'clock. We're going to inspect the depot, see what we have there. Our plans are to hold the BCTC meeting there a week from Thursday.
What time are you guys going down there?
At 1 o'clock.
Okay. I might go down with you just to...
Anything else?
Okay. All right, Mike.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, for the record, my name is Mike Nevin, Public Works Director. Just a few items of interest for you today. Item one, we did publicly open the bids for the siphon and waterline ARB project on August 22nd at 2 o'clock in the engineer's office in Reno. We received four contractors' bids, and the prices range from a high of $334,008 to a low of $205,012. Our estimates for the project were anywhere between $175,000 to $178,000. So we determined it was best that we eliminate three sites on the project. We had an original number of 18, so we'll be down to 15, but these three sites weren't anything that we can't live with. They currently don't exist, and we don't foresee a problem by eliminating the sites. So just eliminating the three sites was able to bring the dollar amount of the contract within range, and so we will, I have most of the supporting documentation now, and we'll be preparing all for submittal to the packet and the agenda action item report for recommendation and bid approval at your September 17th meeting. The second item is the crack sealing project on Cartwright Road was delayed for about a week due to a couple unforeseen issues that we had here in town. We had a water leak on C Street in front of Zephyr's Cove that surfaced a week ago Sunday and created quite a mess down on D Street in front of the elementary school, but we got that resolved. And then we had an issue on the main line that feeds into Silver City last week as well. We've got that addressed and repaired, and again, that's an old line that someday we hope to replace. We're working towards it. Item number three, last week our crews spent a couple of days back down in the industrial park on Portofino, just south of Venice. We had some flash flooding occurred the week before that caused some pretty significant ditch issues with runoff. We had a 2 to 3 foot deep ditch along the west side of Portofino that stretched probably 500 to 600 feet, so we had to haul in some rock and address that and got it cleaned up and the shoulder repaired. So we've got a man down there today, a couple of guys on a backhoe cleaning out a couple of culverts up there, so we're trying to prevent any future issues. This last item I have is we did install two horse warning crossing signs on USA Parkway between Denmark and Walton Way, and that's the area typically where the horses are crossing to access the water in the retention pond down there. So I'm also looking into some type of a solar-powered LED flashing horse crossing sign. In fact, just this morning, I did get a proposal from one vendor, and they range about $1,700 a piece for those signs. But I think it's something that probably we need to do, especially all of the nighttime traffic on that road as far as the heavy truck traffic. So maybe we can prevent an accident. You know. That's all I have, unless you folks have a question or two for me. Thank you.
Cool. Awesome.
Thank you, Chairman, Commissioners. Just an update. Desi had explained the master plan update we're going to have in the Highlands on September 5th, this Thursday, at 6 o'clock. This is really a, thank you, really a workshop where we're going to really tear the master plan apart and go through the goals and objectives of the plan. It's not just going to be a presentation or anything. And we've advertised this pretty heavily and really are hoping we get a good turnout for this in the Highlands. So just want to remind you of that. Also, the previous board had heard a presentation from the Carson Water Subconservancy District on a charter it has made with FEMA and flood mapping the entire Carson River watershed from Alpine County all the way down to the Haunton Valley in Churchill County. And basically what's happening here is FEMA does not have the flood firm elevation maps. But the Carson Water Subconservancy District, through HDR and some of their other contractors, have mapped out the entire watershed. And Story County, so far, for good reason, has said, you know, we recognize we like the maps and everything. We haven't joined just yet. We have a few things to research down in the Mark Twain community, particularly on what we might want to do as far as becoming part of that charter or not. And then in that regard, Carson Water Subconservancy also has the regional floodplain map and their floodplain plan for that entire region on what mitigation is appropriate for potential flooding from alluvial action, mostly in our county, as well as the Carson River. What's important about this is I'd like to ask ultimately one day if the board would hear Ed James come up and give a presentation of what the plan is as well as what the charter is, and then also for me to give a little bit more time to research what might be the potential benefits of Story County in being part of this or recognizing it one form or another. And one of the benefits might be is improving our community rating systems, which is 8 right now, could improve it potentially to a 6. Bringing us pretty much commensurate with Carson City and Douglas County, 10 is being the highest, 1 being the best. Looking at if we were to be part of these projects, then we could improve our community rating system. So I've been working with a subconservancy in their plan, even though Story County is not part of it yet, or not yet at this time, going through and providing comments and making sure things like the Marlette water system, what's in their plan is consistent with what we want in Story County, as well as our other communities. So I just wanted to bring the board up to par on that, and I'll continue to update you, and then ultimately maybe have Ed James from the Subconservancy come up and give a presentation with or without action. That's it. Thank you.
Jerry?
Just two things real quickly. First, if I can touch on what Mr. Phillips commented on, referring to the vehicle use and time card issue we discussed last meeting. My opinion, both of those involve potential administrative policy review, which is up to you gentlemen to decide if you want to do that or not. If that's your pleasure, then happy to move forward with that. The other item that I have, of course, is the big ticket news from the sheriff's office last week. Everybody's wanting to know about the human remains we recovered from septic tank. It's an old case from the get-go. I don't have anything more to release, and it's already been put out on the news, and now we're down to the science of things. It's been farmed out to several different forensic places. Just going to be a matter of time waiting for answers from them, but might come with a pretty good price tag. So keep the checkbook handy.
Thank you, Gary. Mike?
If I may, I have one additional item.
What? Don't tell me you found another one.
When I printed out my notes, I got back there and it was missing. No wonder it skipped over, but anyway, I'll fix it and give it to Vanessa. This is an incident that, I hate to get up here and report, but it happened. We had some vandalism and tagging that occurred at the Mark Twain Community Park sometime between the evening of August 21st and the daylight hours of the 22nd. The taggers painted anything they could see within sight, including asphalt, the concrete, the basketball area, the fence that surrounds the fuel tanks down there. They took a pickaxe or something of that sort and damaged one of the slides. And they even painted some of the playground equipment. But we did take quite a few photographs and then came up and made a report to the sheriff's office. So just maybe the folks down there can keep their ears and eyes open. I don't know if it was a isolated incident or something that might reoccur down there. And we also are exploring the possibility, although I hate to spend any additional money, but if we have to put in some sort of security camera down there, that's what we might have to do. But I just wanted to bring it to everyone's attention that it did occur and we're attempting to address it the best we can. So.
Thank you. Let's see, I think I got everyone, didn't I? Okay. All righty then. Item number five.
Can I speak a little?
Huh?
Can I speak?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got, yeah. Do you have anything, Bill? Do you have anything you want to?
You know, the only thing I have is I'll be gone the week of the 23rd through the 27th to the DA's conference down in Laughlin this year. Last year we had it at Columbus. This year we're going to have Bid Laughlin, so. But I'll be gone all of that week. I'll basically be leaving the 22nd. I won't get back till the 29th. That's all I have.
I'm sorry, Pat.
That's okay. I do have several things to mention. I'm going to hold off on one and keep checking for an email that would allow me to intelligently address one thing that I think is great news. For those that don't know, last Tuesday, through Dean's office and with Commissioner Gilman's help, we hosted executives from both the Nevada Department of Transportation and the Federal Highway Works Administration, geared to stress the importance and the criticality of extending the USA Parkway. I'll defer to Commissioner Gilman during board comments because I think he was very, very helpful, so I wanted to acknowledge that, and I also wanted to say we've got great businesses out in that industrial park. These guys were, I'm so proud of them. We started out with Mark Siegel at the Commerce Center. This is where Rand Accessories is going in, and while they were pouring walls and pouring slab, he took the time to talk to everybody about how critical it is to get USA Parkway done from both a employee-based perspective, just logistical transportations and everything. So right on, and that carried through all the way from Toys R Us to eBay Commerce to GSI Commerce. And then the last one, bless them, because they brought in their regional transportation manager, which actually I think might be based out of Red Bluff, California, but Mars Pet Care took us everywhere, including up on the roofs. And I think everybody that went, I thank you, all three commissioners for taking time, but I think all of us came away with, you know, a sense of pride and a sense of how important these business members are to our county. And I'll leave the rest to Commissioner Gilman. Moving on, I learned something just watching TV today. Not only are the camel races being aggressively advertised, but the V&T Railway is too. And I didn't know this, but if any Nevada resident, chooses to want to ride on the V&T Long Line on either Fridays or Sundays, Friday is diesel, Sunday is steam, you'll get a 25% discount between now and the end of, I believe, their season. So might be kind of cool to take a trip and see it from how our tourists and guests perspective sees it. To tag into a couple of things Denny mentioned, I did note on a trip down to Carson City with Commissioner McBride that the engine is gone from the depot. Through Mr. Maddox, with Tom Gray's help, we had tendered an offer. I never heard back on that, so I assume the offer wasn't accepted because the engine's gone. And with Ferraris, what Denny referenced is there's a perception in town that, and I think a lot of us shared that perception, that these guys are not benefiting our businesses. So we had some very spirited conversations with their leadership, and good ones, as Denny said. And what they're trying to do, Dennis Chiodo is mostly the guy I've worked with, and I've worked with him for years. You probably have too, Sheriff. He's just been a fixture here with the Ferrari races. Their members don't really want to walk into our local merchants and say, well, I own a Ferrari. They think that's highfalutin, and I can get that. But we're talking about wearing placards, lanyards, credentials, maybe T-shirts that evidence the Ferrari group, those types of things. We did amp up hotel reservations. I think we got up to about a 42-room count, Denny. They are going through Heather Beaupre to cater, using the Fourth Ward School for their annual banquet dinner. So. And we are working with them on just better packaging, better structuring. But, I'd appreciate, especially I'm looking at you, Mr. Flanagan, in hopes that maybe some of the clients that you have out there can give us some feedback as to how this event may go, because they're going to make, hopefully, an overt effort this time to spend time, because they were pretty much on the ropes on this one. In fact, they were on the ropes. So, again, kudos to Dr. Hunt. For bringing the wall and whoever else brought that was, I went down yesterday morning and paid our respects. It's a great thing to see in town here, so great job. And I'm going to blow this one, so I'm going to say that what I say into the record, hopefully I'll give a better written document once I get it from Gary Hames. But Gary reported our public safety meeting this morning at 7:30 news, I think, that's worth sharing. And I'm going to kind of look at Joe to help me with some of the technical natures of this, but your average EMT paramedic run apparently uses monitoring equipment that is of limited but helpful capability. And I want to say three leads. I really don't know how many leads they're doing in terms of this stuff, but you can picture when you go to the doctor and they put all the leads on all over you. Apparently a normal EMT paramedic run is a minimal number of leads, and they wind up down at the emergency rooms of either Washoe or CTH for your average run-of-the-mill chest pain, where they can spend a couple of hours just in the queue there getting there. In the stations utilizing CTH and the Carson area, because the Reno hospitals are not participating yet, we've been on more or less a pilot program for a while that has gone, I want to say, to a 12-lead read. And the 12-lead reads really give a full encompass picture to, actually, instead of the emergency room at CTH, a cath lab somewhere. Just over the past week, while we haven't had any significant events for the few months that we've been trying it, and there is some expense, the equipment's expensive, we've got to pay for cell phone service on this stuff regardless of whether you use it or not, but just in the past few days, including one right after the Labor Day parade, they had two full-blown MIs, which, if I remember my days as an EMT, an MI is a myocardial infarction, which is the equivalent of a heart attack in some cases, correct, Joe, or something along those lines. So I think that's very great news. That's cutting-edge stuff that we're participating in. Gary hopes that results like that will be successful enough to really show RIMS of what to do and everybody else in the region and maybe in the medical services. So it's great news, I think, and I will get all the correct numbers to Vanessa on three leads, 12 leads, and all the rest of the stuff when Gary emails me, but he hasn't yet. So thank you.
Okay. If anyone needs a definition of spirited conversation, see me after the meeting. I'll decode that for you. Okay, back to item number five. Carlin. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good to see you.
Thank you. In the Highlands, we have an ever-growing problem with trespassers. Bikes, motorcycles, ATVs, whatever anybody in the area or away from the area feels like bringing up and playing in our playground, they're using the Highlands. The Sheriff's Department has been amazing in that every time we call them, they come out and they encourage us to keep calling them. But by the time they get out there, the vehicles are there, but the offenders are gone. And they can't wait around, excuse me, they can't wait around all day, you know, for these people to come back. So it just never quits. A couple of years ago, we had a group that actually painted arrows on Geiger Grate, pointing down the Loudstown ramp there and showing them where to park. They weren't authorized, nothing. They just choose that area to play in. We have had for years no trespassing signs up about this big. And some of those have blown down, worn out, whatever. So I embarked on this, I don't know what, to put up new signs. I had no idea what it was going to involve. It's been a year now trying to put up new signs. And I would like to have bigger signs, simpler signs with an NRS on it to, you know, give them an idea that it is illegal to be in there and put them up. And what I'm proposing, I think you have a drawing. I'm sorry, my booklet is all in Tahoe at the golf course. My husband took it with him this morning, but you have a picture of it there. What we're looking at is one sign that will hold everything. It'll look nice, you know, with the fence posts up, a board in between, and we can put all of them. We'll put the speeding sign and the no trespass. Oh, thank you, darling. Thank you. The no trespassing sign, the wild horses sign, and all the other signs that we feel we have to have out there, and put it all on one. And I would like to do this at the entrance of, rather the entrance on Loudstown, as well as the entrance on Cartwright. The Calaveras entrance, I've talked to a couple of those people. They don't have trouble with people coming in there for some reason. But certainly we do on the two public roads. I need to get your permission to do that, to put the signs up. We'll pay for it. We're not asking you to pay for it or anything else, and we'll certainly, we have the labor to put it up and all of that. But I need your permission to put them on both, as both are county roads in that area. To remind you, Loudstown, or excuse me, Cartwright, is a county road for the first mile, almost mile and a half. And then Loudstown, of course, is all county. So I need your permission to put this sign up and say, you know, and give us some hope of at least telling these people, please don't. Bicycles are a huge problem for us on Cartwright. They come in. When they're on Cartwright, there is no place to get around a bicycle on the entire, on all of Cartwright, because it's just not wide enough and it's too curvy. So I think our bicycles, as far as everyday abuse, are the worst. And we've got street vibrations coming. Oh, goody. That means we're really going to have our motorcycles in. So anyway, I'd just like your permission to do this.
Well, hold tight there for just a minute. Austin, you want to come up? And I agree with you, I think.
Pardon?
I agree with you, Carl, and I think we got both of those roads. We got so many darn signs, I don't think anybody reads any of them.
They don't.
Go ahead, Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make a note that the sign that Carlin's proposing is compliant with the Story County sign ordinance. It's an exempt sign because it's maintained by the HOA or whatever public entity. That's all.
So, did you say public enemy?
Entity.
Oh, entity. Oh, wait a minute. What about that? I'm sorry. I didn't know how to answer that.
I agree with you. I've stopped people out there all the time. I've got a little rubber stamp I stick on the back of my business card. I stick them on the windshields of cars, you know. And
they just laugh at us. They think it's funny. And, it's not funny.
You know, I've caught them out there ripping across private property, rutting the place up, dust,
yep.
and you know, high speed, and it just goes on and on. And of course, this time of the year, we have a concern with fires in the back country.
That's our biggest concern. Is, you know, they don't have the spark arresters. They don't care. And you know where I live. So if the firehouse, for some reason, isn't manned, which occurs occasionally, and most people out there know I'm a nurse, I end up as the quasi-firehouse. I cannot tell you how many times, just in the last year, four, perhaps five times, I've had people come in my front yard, so-and-so got hurt, call 911, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're getting hurt. The possibility of fires are scary. You know, we got to do something.
Three times this year so far to Cottonwoods and have found campfires still smoldering.
Yep.
No one around, and I carry a little bucket and I go over to the pond and dump it. And
yep.
Somebody's almost shot one of those trees in half out there.
We just become a playground, you know. It's frustrating. And like I said, the Sheriff's Department is doing everything they can for us.
Do you have a comment, Jerry?
Hey, while he's coming up, if you're a nurse, you could have saved me on my 12 lead.
I was going to let you flounder. I was smiling, though.
I agree with Carlin. It is a problem out there. I would ask for consideration of two things, however. First is make sure that we work with Mike on that, because on these big signs, the speed limit signs need to meet specific criteria and everything so that they're enforceable. The other thing is, because people potentially can come in from the other end, if possibly a third sign can be posted, maybe at the intersection of Cartwright and Lousetown for the folks coming in from that backside, just gives us a little bit more of a, if they come up from the north end of the county, if they come up like from Cottonwood.
Lord, if they can make it up that road, they probably deserve to be there.
They can make it up
really,
that road.
We've had
folks come up that way. Yeah. So if we could
that'd be fun,
maybe consider a third sign in that area.
Yeah, by the fire station. Yeah, Jerry, I think. Because I drove last town all the way out to Lockwood a couple of weeks ago. And
in a car?
Yeah.
Really?
Two-wheel drive. It's pretty simple. Mike?
Yeah, I'd just make a suggestion that we could provide the speed limit signs to you.
Okay.
Our county roads where you're going to post these. So
right.
I don't have a problem providing you those speed limit signs.
Thank you. I'll call you for exact sizes. But also, there's a Wild Horse sign up in front, and we don't want to offend anybody, so we've got to put that sign up. The congested area sign, I guess, does that have to be up for some reason? Congested area, don't shoot anything.
What are you looking at, about a 6-foot by 6-foot sign?
Or? Actually, we're looking at the whole thing together. We're looking at 4 by 8, actually. We don't want it too tall. Anything taller than me is too tall. So we don't want it too tall.
That's fairly small for a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit.
4 feet by 8 feet?
Yeah, if you look in the manual for uniform traffic control devices, it'll give you a speed limit and a corresponding size of the sign and the proper size of lettering on it. And it matches it up to the faster the speed limit is, the bigger the sign and the bigger the lettering has to be.
It really doesn't matter, because this is certainly changeable. This is a guess. You know, I just had a sign guy, Jay Carmona, who's a sign guy out there, and he looked at the materials. We can make it any size we want.
Let me email you some info on it.
Cool. Okay. But the whole point is to get them down all together instead of this as you go in, then you're right, nobody reads them.
Okay, any other comments from Flint?
Perhaps for the sheriff, but with the proper posting of no trespassing signs, so that there's NRS disclosure, would it be at all feasible to utilize, you know, in these parking areas, they can put a fixture on a tire so that the individual parked there can't leave when they get back. They've got to call the sheriff's department to come down and talk to them. So I wonder if there could be a deterrent that actually could be utilized with the proper posting of no trespassing.
While he's coming up, I don't know that they would have enough. There are times when next to the firehouse, there are 8 and 10 vehicles. 8 and 10, all with their trailers and all that. So.
They have to wait for the sheriff. It might be a strong deterrent. It only
happens twice. True.
We could boot tires, and once we got out there, found out it wasn't somebody who was a resident, and you know, but a little bit of legal problems we come up to. Until we know who it is, we don't know if they have a legal reason for being there or not. If it was, and it might be an NDF guy who drove his own car up there for some purpose, went over to the fire station, and then took off for the day. And it's hard to say, but like Ben pointed out, and we go out, we'll do the best we can as far as trying to find out. Obviously, if they're there with a trailer, or we've got somebody who watched them offload a bunch of quads and take off into the hills, you know, then we know that that's probably not proper, but those boots are also very expensive to purchase, but we can look into buying some.
Well, another problem would be when they came back, if they're booted, there's no cell phone service out there. So,
the long walk
what do we
to,
do?
The long walk to town will make them rethink coming out.
Yes, it would.
They don't do a cross thing. It's a citation sometimes, too, that you're here and are you trespassing?
That's what I wish.
To follow up with the sheriff's department.
Well, I don't have any objection to the concept of this, but I'd be concerned about the verbiage on this. I mean, having a large sign that says no trespassing to somebody who's entering a county road, this would have to have verbiage on there saying you can't leave the county road or something similar to that. Is that correct?
I'm absolutely open to whatever.
I mean, simply by entering the Highlands on a county road isn't a trespass.
We have had signs up for years, okay? This just came up, and it occurred to me that the Cartwright was also public, blah, blah. And you're right. However, the second you leave the road, whether it be on Cartwright or on Lassen, you're on private property.
Exactly.
The second.
Exactly.
So.
Well, what I'm saying is you enter the Highlands on a county road.
Correct.
You have a no trespassing sign up there, so someone who's maybe is not that, they're looking at a map, they're not familiar with that, it said no trespassing off of the main thoroughfare or something to that sort. So I'm saying the verbiage thing is important. Mm-hmm. And then my second point was be is that I'd like to see getting the blessing of the homeowners associations.
We have that. Like I said, this has been discussed for almost a year.
Yeah.
And it was a matter of getting through the work. I had it in Mr. Maddox's office for too long, and then I found out it didn't belong there.
Oh yeah.
So we started all over again.
Goes there first. It's always too long.
It started out there because I was looking for the correct NRS. The one NRS that's up on our sign now has something to do with dog beating or something. I don't know, some strange thing. So that's all I started.
They're all messed up.
We're absolutely open to the verbiage. We don't care what it says. And Lord knows at this point we'd like to be in compliance. You know, if we're going to go this far, let's do it right.
Well, here's what I would suggest possibly is we would go ahead and say okay to putting up the larger signs, but when you come up with a final product, maybe bring it and check with Jerry and the DA, whoever else, and make sure that we're good on the verbiage. Does that sound like a reasonable?
That's great. Who's responsible for the signs to say congested area, don't shoot anybody, or whatever that is? Well, that's kind of what they say.
Nobody's going to admit responsibility because it's never been defined in ordinance.
They really read that, too, the letters of the state.
We've got MDOT coming in to explain that to us. We ran into some conflicts between the county code and what the people in the Highlands want and what MDOT operates under. And there's a number of things there. So those things technically right now are invalid, but we're going to have MDOT work with MDOT and work out some stuff on that.
Or possibly when we finalize the design, too, we can kind of put them in the center but leave enough room in case we got to put up any more.
I would suggest that the property owners put those signs up themselves.
We're going to.
The signs you were just mentioning are existing out there.
We did. In the past years, they've been put up one at a time. And the whole point is just to, you know, get them all down. It looks horrible.
When did you schedule them, Denny? Next meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
2 weeks, we'll have Endow here, and we'll have a big roundtable on it.
Okay. Excellent.
Shooting and trapping and hunting and all that.
Oh, Lord, that too. See, that's another one that's probably going to have to come on here.
Complicated.
Okay, yeah.
All right, if there's no further comment from the public on this, I'll entertain a motion.
Sure. Move to approve the Highlands erecting 2 or 3 large signs that are informational signs, including speed limits and trespassing. To be approved, those signs to be approved, I guess, planning. Can I have something to do with these, Austin?
No, sir, really, other than as long as they're compliant, they're fine. There's not going to be permitting.
They're exempt.
Okay, okay.
The sheriff looking.
All right.
Sheriff and the DA, possibly.
Are we gonna demand letters of from the homeowners associations on this?
They're going to be located on county property, so we're just getting permission to put the signs up on county property.
Do we want the consensus of the homeowners associations that they want these?
They can't. They could do that. We get a letter from.
I think.
You know, Marshall, I also know it says that the approval should be conditioned on the final approval by the district attorney. For the signed content, wording by the public works for proper placement as to not impede traffic flow or snow removal.
Okay. You need a repeat on that, Vanessa? Why don't you go ahead and, Marsh, if you would, and okay, start your motion over again.
I move for approval of these signs brought forth by Carlin today, with the items that are set forth to be approval by the district attorney, the sheriff, for verbiage.
It should be the sheriff, the DA, and public works.
And public works.
And the sheriff.
I did say the sheriff.
And have you covered that the homeowners association, there, I think there's 1 acre, what, 40 acres, 10 acres?
Yeah.
There's ones and tens. The 40s don't even have an association, I don't believe.
Well, just.
Yes, it'll be involved because we want to be paying for it.
Just homeowners is sufficient.
Okay.
For our purposes.
Adding to that, yeah, from the two homeowners associations out there, their recommendation.
Good with it?
Yeah.
Why, and we'll swear to it.
So I will second that motion.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Mike, come on up before we take a phone.
Just so I'm clear in my mind, we're not eliminating other speed limit signs along those routes?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to thought we're only putting up one speed limit sign for a 5 mile stretch.
It's going to be.
Okay. Very good.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of other cluttered signs that probably need to all come down that are out there. Okay. Item number. What? Can we do it?
The recess?
Yeah.
Ten.
Recess. Take 10.